All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Data Exposed. This is awesome because we have the well-known Bob Ward here from Texas. This is awesome. Bob is one of the biggest SQL gurus that we know. You go to a conference, you go to a conference, and if you're up against Bob Ward, you're not getting anybody in your session. They're all in his session.
I've been told that a little bit. So,
yep. But it's awesome. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, good to be here. So, good to be here.
It's interesting because I think all of Microsoft is in Redmond this week. There's probably nobody left in any of the other sites. So,
yeah.
We invited you in because we want to talk about a couple of things that, you know, why people call Bob Ward.
Sure,
right?
Sure,
and kind of the top two, and the one of the interesting ones we were talking about was performance.
Absolutely.
Right? My database isn't working, right?
You know, Scott, I've been doing this for like 21 years now, right? So, as it turns out, everybody doesn't call Bob, obviously. So, but it's funny when you ask me to do this because I've been recently speaking on a topic called Top Customer Issues, How to Avoid Calling Bob.
Exactly.
And so, you know, when somebody asked me to do that, I actually went and researched, you know, all the cases that we get from customers.
Yep.
And lo and behold, it didn't surprise me, but the number one is performance.
Performance.
Performance, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I have this kind of a phrase with my CSS engineers back in Texas and other CS folks, and the phrase is, I love errors. That's kind of a strange thing to say, but the reason I love errors is because I'm a coder, and errors are a known condition in our code, right?
Yep.
I can always go find an error message and say, this is exactly why this problem happens. But performance is a very vague thing.
Yeah.
It's slow, it doesn't work, right? And so it really stretches your problem-solving skills. Yeah. And so what we do in CSS, we've really worked hard to train our engineers. I have a couple of colleagues, Keith Elmore, Jack Lee, some of these guys. They've worked really hard to train engineers to teach them to say, find out if a problem is running or waiting. So when you look at the SQL engine, either there's some CPU utilization going on that's causing a problem, or there's some sort of resource contention or waiting problem, right? So we have this cause map concept we build where we say, okay, what are the causes for why something is running or waiting? So for example, in the running case, it's usually queries. There's some sort of poorly performing query that's causing overutilization of the CPU.
It's not me, it's you.
It's not me too, exactly. And if it's waiting, it could be a query, but it could be I/O, it could be some sort of blocking problem just because the app is, you know, not acquiring resources the right way or something of that nature.
Right.
So it really helps us to actually narrow problems this way. It's a very interesting or easy way to kind of take a very vague thing and make it very specific, right?
Okay.
So that's one thing that we do all the time. That's really helped us a lot with our customer base. And we try to teach them that. So when I do this presentation, I tell everybody, running or waiting, I'm always saying this kind of thing, right? So very common way for us to help, you know, resolve some of these
things. Perfect. Yeah. And is it, if we start, once you start getting into that running or waiting, is there more of a, nine times out of 10, what's the nine times out of 10?
Yeah, what's the 80-20 rule,
what's
right?
The 80-20,
yeah, exactly. Well, so if you think about the running scenario, the 9 times out of 10, 80-20 rule is queries and poorly forming queries. So it's usually about the plan, the query plan that the query is running. Now, in some cases, it's a customer mistake, like I forgot a where clause or something like that, or I'm scanning a bunch of data.
Select star, right?
But that's not always the situation. It's usually fairly complex queries. So there's a couple things we look at, right?
Okay.
One of the most common things is statistics.
Yep.
Are statistics up to date? Because our query optimizer is only good as the stats that it has, right?
Yeah, so that was going to be my kind of a follow-up question is, the 80-20 back to the 80-20 rule. What's that one 80% thing that customers, you know, the people aren't doing?
Yeah. And it's usually updating. It's only updating your stats or looking at the right index design. Should I have it? And in fairness to customers, it's not a trivial thing to do.
Sure.
Now, we have auto update statistics for our product.
Yeah.
Sometimes customers have found that's a little overwielding, so they'll have to do a scheduled update statistic problem. What's more interesting is that there are actually some query choices you can make that affect our ability to use statistics.
Oh, interesting.
So we have this concept called cardinality estimation.
Yeah.
And maybe you've heard of this concept.
Yep.
We call it CE, you know, around our team.
Yeah.
And so there are certain query patterns where the optimizer can't be as efficient in doing this estimation. Cardinality being the unique number of rows we need to get from a given result, right?
Yep.
So here's an example. You're using SQL Server and you say, hey, I'd like to use a table variable in my stored procedure.
Yeah.
This is a cool concept. I'm gonna stick data in a table variable and manipulate it. The problem is the optimizer always thinks that the estimate for a table variable is one row. So if you've got a million rows in your table variable and you join that with something else, you're probably not going to get the best plan from that because we think it's one row. So there's a series of these things, right, where the cardinality estimation based on your choice of what you do, a user-defined function, table-valued function, things like that can affect these decisions. So There's been some improvements in the product, like in 2014. We actually have a new cardinality estimation model, a new process.
Yep.
If you actually create a default database to 2014, or if you upgrade and change the compatibility level to 14, we will use a new cardinality estimation engine to make decisions.
Interesting.
Which okay. is a neat yep. feature of 2014. So we're anxious to see, as customers adopt that version, yeah. what things can
I've
help.
I've seen a couple MVPs, like we were at SQL Bits,
yeah.
and one
yeah.
of the sessions out there was understanding the new cardinality
yeah,
estimator.
Exactly.
Right?
And now, in fairness, like the example I gave you for table variables, this engine does not change some of those things.
Okay.
But I think what it's going to do is help some of the more common scenarios people have to that are not those things I talked about,
okay.
that are not a query pattern problem. It's just that we can do a better job of doing estimation. So we when we look at problems, like what I'm talking about, we always look at the query plan.
Yep.
And we're like, okay, is this a poor plan because the estimates that we said for getting data from a table are different than the actual rows,
yeah.
right? And if they're off, we've got to go do something.
Okay.
Maybe it's an index decision. Maybe the statistics are actually wrong. Because we base these estimates on statistics, right?
So. Does it help, and do you sort of push people to understand, you know, how do I ask this? Do you push people to look at the query, the estimate and actual query plans and
yeah.
start looking at the properties? Because
yeah.
there's been a whole lot out there. I don't think people, in my opinion, don't really know how to read those.
Sure. There's a science to it. There's a little bit of art to it. And quite
yeah.
frankly, there is some documentation and things other people have produced about how to read it,
yep.
but it does take a little bit of a science.
Sure.
To be honest with you, the biggest challenge we see is not actually getting into that plan, it's getting to that point.
Oh,
so I told you,
yeah.
you know, customer calls me and says, my server's slow, queries are timing out, or things used to be running well, they're not running well anymore.
Yeah.
So actually narrowing it from a very vague problem down to the query is usually most of the time.
So getting to that point.
Yeah, and I brought with me today, if you don't mind me showing
sure.
this,
yeah, absolutely.
Something
Let's
a
go.
Lot of people don't know.
Okay.
This is a free download on our, I think it's in our feature pack
okay.
right, that we have. Something called Performance Dashboard Reports. My colleague Keith Elmore is the one that actually authored this. He's kind of an expert on performance. And also my colleague Jack Lee works in this area as well.
Okay.
So what you're looking at is a custom report that you can install for free with Management Studio. And if you look at this this report here, it breaks down the running versus waiting mantra.
The running versus waiting.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
Perfect.
It's all. And here's the cool thing about this report. It's very lightweight. It only uses the dynamic management views on a live server.
Wow.
So we're not
okay.
using any special thing that takes a lot of storage or something like that, right?
Using
very low overhead.
Yep.
Very low overhead. So what you see on the left here is a graph about the CPU utilization of the machine
okay.
over a period of the last, say, 30 minutes.
Okay.
The yellow bars represent utilization for other processes than SQL Server. The blue bar would be for SQL Server.
Okay.
So the very first thing I do when somebody tells me I'm slow is like, are you sure it's SQL? Like if this yellow bar was really high, hey, it's not our process, it's something else
something
we need
else.
To figure out.
Okay.
If it's a blue bar, the one thing we might do, and this is what's really powerful about this, is we might click here and drill into it. And what we're going to do now is show you what are the worst performing queries for your server. So we can
Very
actually go
nice.
Say,
yeah.
what are the queries, and this is all based on DMVs, right,
okay.
inside
yep.
cache. And so when you take one of these, you can then go further and say, you can see these estimates that I talked about. Okay, so yeah, I have colorful names. Are the Cowboys mediocre? Sorry for all the Dallas Cowboy fans out there. I'm a huge Cowboys fan, but let's admit it. We're
go,
kind of
Tony Romo.
Yeah, we're kind of a mediocre team right now, actually. So anyways, you can see these estimates. And if you want to drill in further, you can click here. And then now you're going to be able to actually see the plan itself. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So in a live server, I can tell somebody on the phone, hey, go put this thing on right now.
Download let's it, install it.
Install yep. it, and it's very lightweight. Drill in really quick, and let's find out what the queries we need to actually look at.
Now, that's interesting. How many, when you start getting into these, how many of it really is SQL Server? And is it, or is it other processes?
That's like fair. The majority is SQL Server.
Okay.
But it's in some cases, the 20 rule
yeah.
would be it's not SQL Server.
Okay.
Some other process, it could even be a Windows issue or something going on.
Yep.
But the majority of time, when it's a dedicated SQL Server, which
yep.
is a lot of the case, it will be that the blue bar will be high.
Yeah.
We'll be looking at
and
that. Exactly.
At that point, you're driving, okay, let's look at the queries.
Let's look at the queries. It's all yeah. about the queries. There are some scenarios, more advanced scenarios, where it's not queries.
Okay.
A background task that we have or something like that. I did a presentation at a conference recently where we have this problem in some scalable scenarios called spin locks.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a crazy term, right? So that is more of a real scalability thing on
yeah.
high-end systems where we have to do a lot more advanced diagnostics. This tool isn't for that.
Right.
But that is definitely the 20 rule. The 80 rule is all about queries.
This is getting there and going, let's look at your queries. Which ones
yeah.
are performing?
Yeah.
yeah.
And the one thing we do here when we look at some of these things, we do look at the estimates and the actuals. But one thing we're going to look for is these operators in the plan. And we're going to look for things like, scans and sorts and hashes and stuff like that. And we're going to like, why is it doing that? And it, again, it all boils down to index choices, statistics being up to date, those kind of things.
I was going to ask this earlier because we have this, you open up a query and it says, hey, recommended indexes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you talk to people out there and like, look, that may or may not be...
It's fair. It's fair. I know what you're talking about. Like missing indexes, some of those things.
Things like that, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely, I highly recommend it's not an automated thing.
Right.
It's a recommendation. So you go take a look at it and then make a decision whether can I apply that and does it help or not.
I think that's a good point.
Because it's not a blind choice,
in
my opinion.
It's not a, there's an apply button.
Yeah, it's a recommendation, not an automation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I totally think that. And and there are some limitations with those kind of type things. But usually what we're looking at is that did we run a plan and is it possible that an index choice could have helped do a seek versus a scan
correct,
or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. But this is a great first step into, hey, what the heck is going on in my database?
And again, again, here's the key thing, and we built the reports this way, is it a running or is it a waiting problem? So over here to the right, if we think there's some sort of blocking problem or concurrency issue, you would drill into this graph and you would see what are your top weight problems going on.
Again, pulling from the DMVs.
All from the DMVs, right? Yeah. So in this particular case, I was actually running a little workload to do a bunch of inserts.
Yeah.
And so my bottleneck was transaction log IO. Even though it really wasn't a big weight, that was my total thing.
Okay.
But look else we can do here. We can give you historical information. So this is a graph of just DMOS weight stats for your cumulative wait time by weight category.
Yeah.
In a nice graphical way. So instead of you sitting there having to pull DMOS weight stats, our report will do this for you, and then you can drill in and figure out what are your top weights. So a little more of a history. But again, this is all what resides inside SQL Server in memory in our dynamic management views. The downside, of course, is that it's not stored, so if the server restarted, you wouldn't have this historical information.
Right,
but quick and dirty way, right,
of
looking at a server.
Yeah.
Now, we actually have a couple of tools that I don't have for you here today, though, that are really interesting that we use with customers in cases when it's not one of these live scenarios.
Sure.
Here's what I mean. A guy calls me up and says, yesterday at 2 o'clock, performance went south for like an hour, and then I fixed it or I restarted or something.
Yeah.
What happened? I'm like, okay, well,
You restarted.
I can't tell you, right? So we have a tool called PSS Diag.
Mm-hmm.
It's available. You can find it on CodePlex out there. And it comes with a tool called SQL Nexus. Okay. You've heard of that.
Yeah, I heard of that. Yep.
Okay. So what's really cool about that tool is you run this PSS Diag and you collect it during a range of when the problem occurs. We'll take a stored set of data into files.
Interesting.
Nexus will do reports that look like this against the stored data. And it's the running versus waiting concept again.
Okay.
Now, the reports are slightly different. It's not into Management Studio. It's in a browser window, right?
Okay.
But again, the same concept of this cause map. Is it running? Is it waiting?
Yep.
What is your problem you really need to drill into?
Okay.
Because I told you, again, that the majority of people call us, and they don't usually call and say, I know the query. They don't know the query. They don't know the problem. Yeah. They just need to help narrowing it down. Right?
My server's slow.
My server's slow.
Why?
Yeah. Queries timing out. Very common type thing.
Oh, okay.
And so we in CSS use these tools all the time with customers. Okay. If it's happening live, we might run this. If it's happening yesterday and you want to track a period over time,
PSS Diag.
We use this PSS Diag.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so this sort of helps get from that wide to narrow very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's helping, and it's not an automation. It's just helping guide you to where to focus your efforts on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because as you can imagine, if you don't have all the right data and you make the wrong choice, you go down the right cause map tree, go on the wrong one,
right?
And now you're just totally at the wrong problem that you're trying to really solve, right?
So. Yeah, so I think my next question, I think it is related. Where do you see the biggest missteps people are making from in relation to this?
To performance problems and so forth.
So, like things like they're not updating their statistics or things like that, right?
I mean, you know, when we do look at the final cause of these things, a lot of it has to do with what I just described. Index choices, statistics being up to date, or a query decision that they didn't realize could cause a cardinality estimation issue.
Yeah.
Like table variables, stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's usually what it boils down to. One of the interesting things that we do run into, though, is, you know, the upgrade scenarios, right?
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I definitely have plenty of customers. Customers don't call me and say, I upgraded and things are great. They call and say, I upgraded and things are bad, right?
Yeah.
So what we found is that I think customers struggle a little bit with testing out the upgrade scenario ahead of time, right?
Yeah,
and making
okay.
sure the queries will perform the same way. Clearly, we try to build versions of SQL Server that don't upgrade well.
Yeah.
We try to do the best we can to make sure what you're going to run on a previous version runs better or the same on a new version. As customers well know, that's not reality.
Right.
A lot of times it doesn't work out that way. So what we found is customers will call and talk about, it ran great, I upgraded, it doesn't run well.
Right.
And I'm fine. I'm like, well, what did you do to test this? And they're like, well,
we didn't. We
well, we kind of did, or something like that. So here, another shameless plug for our CSS toolset, right? Okay. We have this really cool toolset called RML, Replay Markup Language is what it's called. And what comes with it is a tool called OStress. Some people in the community have heard this a little
bit. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what you can do is you can take the SQL trace, profiler data, you can run it against your workload, okay, you can save it off to a file, and then you can use OStress to replay that, actually. And it'll play it, it'll play based on timings, it'll play it based on a stress scenario. So what we tell our customers is, you know, run it on 2008 or something.
Yep.
Run, you know, OStress, take a test server, get your version up there, and replay this workload against your new version, and then go compare the durations of your queries and so forth.
Okay.
So pretty nifty stuff, and it supports
all. So this is a great way to go, okay, here's, before I do run this up to production, run it in 2008, build up a 2012 box, run that load on
Replay the workload, yeah, exactly. Right? And it's kind of a neat way to just kind of get a feel for what is your workload going to look like.
Yeah.
And again, they're pretty smart how they build this. Robert Doerr and Keith Elmore, two of my colleagues again, those names are popping up. I don't really do much. You know, I just tell these guys, you know, kind of what's going
Here's
on.
Here's what
right?
you need to do.
Here's what you need to do. Anyways, this tool is really great because what they can do is they can look at the exact timings of how the queries came into the server, and they'll replay it exactly in that sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, like, really? Like one of their benchmarks is to replay deadlocks 100% accuracy. And they can do it. I mean, they know how to do this accurately because they know how exactly how to replay the timings of the workload.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool technology.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So if I had to encourage anybody for performance, it would be look at the dashboard reports, look at things like Nexus, and then look at something like the RML tool set. So.
And that'll help them before they call Bob. Not that Bob doesn't like talking to customers.
Exactly.
Bob
loves
it. Before, that'll help really narrow down before they even call.
Sure.
Look, I've narrowed this down to this, and so.
Absolutely.
Right, maybe even solve it on their own, which would be really awesome.
Which would be cool. Right.
So performance number one.
Absolutely.
Right? What would be the second?
You know, it's funny because performance is so dominant. There are several other categories. It's hard to pick out a number two. But as you asked me about this, and I thought more, what would I say is the number two issue? I would kind of combine it in a couple of ways. And it would be, you know, backup strategies, restore, and database consistency, those kind of type topics, right? So what I found when I presented to customers about people that call us, a couple of things about backup restore that are really interesting. One is restore. People call us and say, hey, I had a problem with my database, and so I got a backup and restored it. And then the restore doesn't work or has a problem, but they restored on top of what they had. And so I'm like, well, and you have to say with replace to do this. You have to consciously do this. I'm like, well, how do I want to get the previous one to help you get back to where you were, but they replaced on top of it, so we have no way of doing that, right? So that's one mistake I see. So I always tell customers, if you're going to actually do this restore, why would not do this to a different database?
Exactly.
And then you can move over to that one and then do something with the older one. That's a common mistake.
Okay.
The second one is customers not being able to verify their backups. They back up to a share somewhere on the network or whatever, right?
Yep.
So so what's an easy way to do that, or what's a way to help you do this? Well, there's this nifty feature that people don't realize called backup with checksum, okay?
Yep.
So when you do a backup with checksum in SQL Server, we do two really cool things. One is we will do a checksum on the database pages themselves before we back them up.
Okay.
And if they're bad, we'll fail and say, oh, you have a problem with, you're going to back up bad stuff to your database, right?
Yep.
So you know already before you do a backup, right? Then what we do is we take the backup file, the actual bits of the backup, and we do a checksum on top of the media of the backup itself.
Interesting.
So
when
you do a backup with checksum and you do a restore with verify only, which is not a full restore, we'll go verify that checksum now. So you can tell whether your backup media got damaged if wherever you stored it at.
Okay.
A very easy way to know, it can't give you a full 100% guarantee the restore will work completely, right? But at least you know whether your backup is damaged.
Yeah,
because if you think about it, you're backing up your database on disk to a different media. The backup file is a separate file, right? So if I want to find out, is the backup going to contain, you know, consistent pages, I would use this checksum. Plus, I can know whether the backup itself was damaged.
Right.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Interesting.
I don't know a lot of people really realize that exists.
So. You know, that'd be a good question. We, you know, kind of do that. You know, probably a lot of the MVPs out there probably know that. But it'd be interesting to know, you know,
when I present on it, most people when I talk about this at these large audiences, they don't even know that that feature exists, right?
Well, they will after they watch this. Now you know.
And the overhead's pretty low.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had customers use this, and I want to give a number, right? Maybe a 5% type thing. But the overhead, as far as the speed to back it up, is not all that really high to do this. So,
and does it do the checksum as it's doing it, or after the fact?
Yeah, it's after the fact. I mean, it'll verify the pages as it's writing them, and then when it's done with the final you know, bits. It'll calculate a checksum and write it into the file itself. Okay, so it's pretty cool technology.
So, yeah, so you made 100% you know, guaranteed it'll be successful, but at least you're a lot closer than you were.
Well, so the number one reason that I see Restore failing for customers is the fact that is that the backup media file is damaged. Yeah, okay. So this is what helps you verify that piece.
Okay.
Exactly. So there could be problems that recovery could fail or something, even the media is okay.
Yep.
There could be logical problems.
Perfect.
That doesn't prevent that.
Okay.
But the number one reason Restores fail is this media damage, so this would help you know that.
Now, is it because either the media they're storing on is corrupted or like tape or something like that, or
it's,
you just don't know?
Nobody really uses tape anymore, but yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Old school.
Yeah. Well, I remember tape. But yeah, it's a lot, most common is like a network. Network share or something like that, right? So,
yeah.
And I'm not saying that network share, you know, fail everywhere, but they're usually a disk system behind it all, right? You're
right.
saying or something like that.
Yep.
And yeah, just like you might have a database corruption problem on your local disk or SAN, wherever you're going to place your backup may have the same type of problem, right?
Now, and that does that tell you even before it backs up, hey, you have an issue? I
think no. So you so the backup checksum will only fail if the pages that I'm pulling out of the true database have a problem.
Oh, so the data. Okay, the database is.
So yeah. So when we write the checksum, we just put it in there. So think of it this way: we back it up to this say network drive.
Yep.
We write this checksum value, and it's in there.
Yep.
So let's say that the next day there was a problem on that drive where your backup was.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, some bits got messed up on the file.
Yeah.
If you restore verify only, which is a very fairly simple, quick operation on the file, we can know that that got altered, actually.
Okay, and not to restore and mess up. Okay.
Yeah, you can say, hey, before you try to restore this long thing that could take hours, this verify only is telling you it's going to fail because there's a problem with the file.
Good point.
Pretty cool.
Yep. So you get after people watching this, hopefully they'll know more.
And then that kind of leads to database consistency to conversation, right? So customers will call us and say, look, you know, again, nobody calls us and says, my database is going great. Everything's great. Love it. You know?
Please call Bob.
Yeah, please call Bob.
Let him know that your database is good.
You know, it's funny. It wouldn't be not bad every once in a while if somebody called me and just said, hey, man, things are going great. I never get those calls.
Awesome.
So anyways, we get these calls, right? And like, my database is inconsistent. I'm having a problem restoring. I don't know what to do with this database.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, what is the symptoms of the problem? And often what we see is we'll get what's called a checksum error in an error log, which is like a message 824 type problem. And so a customer's like, well, what does that mean? And so I do a really good job of explaining in some of my talks about how this checksum algorithm works and why it means there's a problem with either the disk system or what we call the I/O path.
Right.
And here's what happens. When you actually take a database page, if this checksum option's on for your database, we will take the page contents and memory, and before we write it to disk, we'll write a checksum calculation in the page header.
Okay.
And then we write the thing to disk.
Yep.
Okay. Well, when we read it back from disk, we will actually recalculate the checksum, what we see on the page, and we'll compare them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So
if they're wrong, it must have been something that happened after we shipped it to Windows, right?
Yep.
Something altered that page. It could be Windows. No, it would never be Windows, right? It could be a driver, like a filter driver.
Yep.
It could be a device driver. It could be the SAN itself. It could be the card, anything like that, right?
Okay.
The point is that after we shipped off the page to disk, something changed the file.
Okay.
And so when you see this checksum problem, it's always that. And so we can quickly tell the customer, hey, there's something in the I/O path causing this damage. So you're thinking to yourself, well, great, what do I do now?
Bob.
Well, yeah, Bob, right? So, you know, typically your choices are to restore. Hopefully you've got a good backup. You could run repair. We have a repair facility with our consistency checker.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know sometimes with that, though, there's limitations on what that does.
Right.
So this repair tool is built to try to get your database to a physically consistent state. Right? But we could have to deallocate a page that may be damaged to make that happen. That's where this allowed data loss comes into play.
Right.
So, for example, if we found a page that had a checksum damage, we'd have to deallocate that because we don't know how to fix it.
So
we don't know what bits off. We don't know what...
You could have data loss.
You could have data loss, right. So what we do to our customers, they run these scenarios, is we try to help them, and then we say, hey, for future reference, you should consider running a tool called SQLIO Sim.
Okay.
Another tool authored by CSS, but it's now part of the product. It actually ships with the bits of the SQL Server engine.
Oh, interesting.
So you run SQLIO Sim. What it does is it does an independent verification of your disk. And here's how it does it. It actually uses Windows calls to simulate SQL Server writing pages and reading pages from disk and even log I/O and so forth. But it's not the SQL engine. It's its own code.
Right, okay.
But it has verification logic.
Interesting.
Yeah, so if you were running into this checksum a lot on your system, you could run SQLIO Sim, and it may come back and tell you, oh, I found problems running I/O on your disk system. You should consider looking at this.
Is this something you might recommend that you run once a week? or?
You know, not necessarily that, because I think most customers have a pretty good handle on how their system's running once a week, right? Certainly you might run it when you run into these problems.
Okay.
What's more important to do, I think, is when you're deploying new hardware. And in fact, I think I may be right about this. Our hardware compatibility labs at Microsoft may start, I think they're running this thing now, right?
Okay.
We've even had some of our vendor partners consider using it, like Dell and HP and so forth, right? So if you're deploying a new system, or hardware upgrade, or new SAN system or something, it's a perfect tool to stress test the disk system and kind of see, am I finding any problems with it and so forth.
Well then, is there something that, you know, that we should be running on a consistent basis, and whatever that consistency is, to say what's the health, you know,
is my database consistent?
Is my database consistent, or you know, am I running into
checksum things
like that, right?
Pretty big controversy, you know, and a topical topic in the industry is like, should I run CheckDB all the time and those kind of things.
Yeah, right? I was really hesitant throwing that out.
No,
there,
you can
right?
say that. You can say that. You can say that. It's okay. So it's a tough one, right? Because you know. How do you know things are consistent? Well, the thing about the checksum that's nice is that we report that at runtime.
Yeah.
So we would tell you that there's a problem when we read it back from disk. A CheckDB, if you ran it and that same problem existed, would alert you quicker potentially.
Sure.
Because you're forcing to go read all the pages and see if they're right and so forth, right? I would say nowadays, most systems that we run into are fairly reliable, especially like SAN systems.
Okay.
And running this CheckDB all the time is not necessarily a required operation.
Okay.
Here's the one really rub about the checksum thing that CheckDB might come into play. So you notice I'm dancing around your answer.
And cut.
Well, here's the deal. I told you that we did this checksum calculation based on what's in memory, and then we calculate the checksum and we write it to disk. So we can detect what happens after we wrote it to disk.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we see now more days a little bit is that what if the page got damaged in memory? So so if you have a database page with a bunch of rows on it, and we're writing and updating things to it, but there's some sort of like memory problem with the hardware, memory chip gone bad or something of that nature.
Yeah.
What if a bit got off, you know, or something in a page?
Yeah.
We're going to write out and we're going to checksum the wrong data. So the checksum is right, actually. It's correct, but yet the data may be damaged.
Right.
So checksum can't figure that out, doesn't know. That's where CheckDB would come in and say, oh yeah, there's a problem with this page, right?
Right.
So that's why sometimes it still can make sense. But, you know, for the majority of customers that call us, I still see the cases that come in to be disk-related issues.
Okay.
So if you're doing all the right things to keep things up to date with your disk system and using redundancies and high availability and so forth, these are becoming less and less an issue.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I didn't really.
So,
answer your question.
So let me re-ask the question.
Let me ask the question. It's kind of like this question I get: like, how long will CheckDB take to run? And I have this famous answer that I give, and I've been given by my colleagues here also at Microsoft, as long as it takes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the worst answer in the world, right? But the truth is, it's too many variables.
Still dancing. But this is good information, right?
Well, one other thing I've seen people do, though, is that they'll restore backups to another server and run CheckDB on those or something, right? They kind of do it offline.
I was going to ask that earlier.
Big customers I've seen do that.
Okay.
You know, they'll do that kind of type thing. Or there are some customers that just now build really good high availability solutions, and so they don't worry so much about this.
Yeah.
We have other cool technologies that can help you in these scenarios. Let's say you're using Always On.
Yep.
Neat technology from Microsoft, right? And you've got a secondary, and the secondary is healthy. It's in sync. If we detect that a page got damaged on the primary, we will automatically ship a good page back to the primary and fix it online, and you don't even know what happened. Yeah. Pretty cool stuff, right?
That's really cool stuff.
Yeah, so we have some technologies like that that can help you in these situations.
And it's sort of almost a shameless plug to say, look, we have these things there to protect from.
We do.
Right?
We do.
It's
a shameless plug.
But, you know, it's a awesome, a good
plug. Well, in CSS, you know, we don't just tell you, you know, hey, here's your problem and here to fix it. We will often sometimes tell customers, hey, we've noticed you don't really have your system set up in such a way that might be most high available.
Right.
Why don't you consider these technologies? We give you a little bit of advice along the way.
Good.
A little extra thing.
Free.
Freebie. Free. Exactly.
Right. So good. All right. So this was interesting. Great conversation. Performance, some of the benefits, some of the great tools around there.
Yeah, sure.
And then some, you know, backup, restore, and consistency.
Yeah,
great discussion.
Some things to keep in mind of when you're trying to keep your sys up and running and you don't want to get paged late at night or something like that. That shows my age, right? I'm sorry. Called.
That's right. So you can't blame me now for saying tapes.
That's right.
This guy's talking about pagers.
Oh my gosh, exactly.
We're even now.
Yeah, we are even, exactly. Right.
So awesome. Bob, it was a pleasure to have you.
Great
to
be here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks a lot.
Everybody, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.